kept reading Mark 16 to do with the resurrection, and I kept being drawn back to Matthew 28, and it was until last night that I understood why. And we'll try to get to that here in a little bit. But what it laid on our heart was rejoice. And I'm thankful today that I've got something to rejoice about. I'm thankful we have something to be excited about.
Sorry about that. I didn't get my mic on. But I'm thankful we got something to be excited about. I'm thankful we got something to rejoice about. I'm thankful that a Savior was willing to come and give His life for me. And then on the third day, resurrect and come out of the grave. I'm going to read from Matthew 28, and once again, I ask you to pray for us. We might read around in a few places. We'll not try to be very long. This is all very familiar. Most of us, when we come to church on Easter Sunday, expect to hear something like this. And I don't necessarily think you have to preach on the resurrection on Easter Sunday. I don't. I think you need to follow the Lord. I've been blessed different times to do that. And I'm thankful. A preacher told me one time, he said, "You ain't one of them preachers just because it's a certain time think you ought to preach on a certain thing, do you?" I said, "Yeah, there's sometimes I do." And he said, "Well, I just don't see it that way." And I'm not arguing with nobody. Everybody see things the way you want. But when you do the Lord's Supper, what do you preach on? You preach on the death of our Lord and the things He suffered through. So there's certain times that you're to preach on certain things. And we're always to preach on Jesus. I believe this Bible teaches Jesus from one end to the other. And so if we leave Him out, we've missed it. But in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the Scripture. And behold, And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like the lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre and with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. And they went to tell the disciples, and behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And he said, and then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." And with mistakes we made reading, that's reading down to the 10th verse. And we find here it says where the angel came and rolled the stone away. And I believe when he came and rolled the stone away that morning at about daylight, the Lord had been out of that grave for some time. I want you to understand today, most think when he rolled the stone away, the Lord came out. But the Lord had done been out of the grave for some time then. He rolled the stone back, not for the Lord to come out. He rolled it back for them to be able to go in and say he was gone. He had already resurrected. It wasn't for the Lord to come out. It was for them to be able to go in. So we find then that Then after he rolled it back, there was a great fear of the keepers. They had appointed men to come and sit and make sure no one come and stole him from the grave, because he had told them that he would raise from the grave. He told them, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And they thought he was talking about the temple there in Jerusalem, but he was talking about his body there. They'd sent keepers to watch over the grave to make sure no one come and took him out, and no one did. I want you to know he raised himself from the grave. And but it said down there, he told them to go and to tell the disciples that he had raised. And he told them to go, and they left and they ran and they went with joy. And I want to think about us today and how we're to go and tell the ones that out in the world that our Savior liveth. And we should do that with joy. And I want to go over here and read a verse out of Mark 16, and I'll try to move along with our thought. And it said in Mark 16 and 10, when Mary come to them, it said, and she went and told them that had been with him, they mourned and wept. Now I want you to realize it wasn't they mourned and wept because he had raised from the dead. They mourned and wept because he had been crucified. It was ones that had been with him. And I want you to realize, or I try to realize and think about what the things they witnessed and the things they saw that our Lord went through, and how they mourned and wept over that. They followed after this man. They seen him do miracles. They seen him make the blind to see, the lame to walk. They seen him raise one from the grave. And they say all these things, and they'd walk with him, and they loved him very much. And they followed after him. And I would like to think today, if I went through the things that Jesus went through, y'all would mourn and weep a little bit over it. Now, I'm just a mortal man, but this was God. This was our Savior, and they knew that. They knew who he was. So they had mourned and wept, and they'd watched him go through what he'd went through, and the things he suffered. They was there when he was whipped. They was there when he was spit upon. They was there when he was mocked. They was there when he was crucified. They was there when he cried out to the Father, why have thou forsaken me? They was there when he saved a man's soul while he hung on a cross. They witnessed all these things. And I want you to realize they watched their Savior die there on the cross. They watched him give up the ghost. And I want you to realize it broke their heart. But then, I'll say this. Y'all, you can believe it out however you want to. Most of the world today believes Jesus was crucified on a Friday. That was something that's been come up with. That ain't true. It just ain't true. I believe, and you can believe how some people believe he was crucified on a Thursday. I can see scripturally how some people believe that. But when you get down to it and you really study out the Word of God, our Savior was crucified on a Wednesday. He was placed in the grave, I believe, about 6 o'clock in the evening. He resurrected, and I know this is going to be hard for some of you to understand. I don't have time to get into all of it. He resurrected, I believe, exactly 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening. The Bible says the evening and the morning was the first day. So at 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening was the first day of the week, and that's when our Savior resurrected. But I want you to think about, for 3 days and 3 nights, they sat and they mourned and they thought about all the things he went through. They thought about the things he suffered. I think about Mary Magdalene and the different sisters that came to the grave there. And I want you to realize the Bible says that there was a high Sabbath that year. On Thursday there was a Sabbath, and so they wasn't able to do anything. And so on a Friday, then after the Sabbath passed, they prepared the anointing oil to go and knowing him. But then they couldn't go because then the Sabbath of the week come, the Saturday Sabbath. So then they had to wait. Can you imagine how Mary and them, they couldn't wait to get there. So first thing, before it even got daylight, they was wanting to get there to anoint their Lord. How they watched all the brethren had mourned and they hurt with them. And I want you to realize they saw all these things, and for 3 days and three nights they sat and mourned and they thought about these things. Then they finally got the opportunity to go and to anoint him. And I want you to realize when they got there, he had resurrected. The angel told them, he is gone. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He lives. And I want you to know, for that, there was great joy about them. I want you to know today, we should have joy about us. We ought to be tickled to death. We ought to be happy. We ought to be the happiest people in the world today. Our Savior liveth. I couldn't figure out why. I couldn't understand why I had to read from Matthew. And last night, for some reason, it hit me. When they come to, Jesus come to them, and he just said, all hell. And I want you to realize that's spelled H-A-I-L. And I thought, I wonder what the definition of that is. And I just looked it up to find out what the definition of that is. And you wouldn't believe. Now this is the thought the Lord had given me. He'd give me rejoice, joy. This is the thought he'd give me. He kept telling me to go read Matthew 28. I don't know why. I can't figure it out. I want to read Mark 16. But he keeps saying, and finally, here it is. I go look. Now I want you to hear what the definition of all hell is. Listen, if I can get turned back to it and find it, it means cheer, happy, joy, fully rejoice. It said, all rejoice. Fully rejoice. That's what he was saying to them. When he meant hell, it meant all rejoice. Everybody be happy. Honey, I'm alive today. I've done what I told you to do. I've come and died for your sins. And honey, on the third day, I've come out of the grave. You need to rejoice over that. All hell. Everybody rejoice. I want you to know. I think about these things. I think about what he's done for us. I think about us today. We come here expecting a certain sermon. We all know, I expect to hear it. But honey, I want you to realize today, I hope it gets down in you to realize. You say, first, Corinthians in chapter 15 has all to do with the resurrection. One of my favorite chapters. I get excited about the resurrection. It may not mean much to you, but I get tore up about it. It tells us in there, if there's no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. In other words, you don't have no hope. There's no hope within you. If he hadn't raised from the grave, you're going to die in your sins and go to hell. But hon, he did. So it's important to me. He said over there in one place, Paul said in the 15th chapter, I believe it's the 55th verse, he said, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory, honey? I want you to know death don't have no victory over us, and neither does the grave. I'm thankful today because our Lord and Savior raised. Honey, someday after a while, I don't know when he'll come back, but someday after a while, I don't understand just all about, I believe when we die, I believe just like the Bible says, our Lazarus was carried up in Abraham's bosom. As soon as we take our last breath, we're going to be with the Lord. And I believe just a rich man, as soon as he took his last breath, he lifted his eyes up in the devil hell. I don't understand all of it. I want you to know, but honey, someday after a while, this old body here is going to come out of the grave. Job said, my flesh shall worm
worms may eat my flesh, but my flesh shall see God. Someday after a while, this old body that's corrupt, that's going to be planted in corruption, but it's going to be raised in incorruption. Honey, it's going to be glorified like my Lord and Savior. Honey, and I'm going to be joyful then. You will too. You may not joy in it much now, but honey, come a day, you're going to joy in it. I'm thankful today to know someday I've never been satisfied with this body. I've heard me tell this over and over. I stand in front of a mirror and I'd find a thousand flaws along with it. But honey, one of these days, I'm going to look at myself and it's going to be like in a hill. I'll never want to change it again. I'll be satisfied. That's what David said in the psalm. He said, when I wake from my sleep and I see thy likeness and I am in your likeness, I'll be satisfied. Honey, I'm going to be satisfied someday with this old body. For not what it is today, but what it's going to be. There's something to be happy about today. There's something to rejoice about today. Y'all pray for us a few minutes. Before he ascended into heaven, he told them in the 24th chapter of Luke, he told them, you said you tarry here until you endure for power on high. Honey, he told them about how the Comforter was going to come. He said, I'll come unto you. And he tells them that in the 14th chapter of John, how he was going to come unto them and he would not leave them comfortless. And he told them, he said, but you tarry here. Hit ye here until you endued from power on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I want you to realize how they knew their Savior liveth. I've never had really thought about it before. He gave them the Great Commission before he ascended unto heaven. And he told them, he said, now you go into all the world. I want you to realize he was telling them, you go into all the world and you tell them your Savior lives. You go tell everybody about it. You go tell them the things that I suffered for them. You go tell them the things I went through for them. You go tell them in joy that I live today. You go tell them about me. And I want you to know that's what we're still doing it today. We should leave this place today in joy and go tell the world that our Savior lives. We should go out of here in a run. We should walk out of here all gloomy and down and out. We should go out of here today just like they did. Run! He said, what did he tell them? He said, you go tell the brethren that I live. I send a text out Saturday morning, every Saturday morning to the preachers of this church. And I started off, brethren. He calls me brother. I'm his brother. You're his brother. He said, you go tell the brother. You go, oh hell, everybody be happy. Everybody be joyous. He lives. The psalmist said, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Honey, it wouldn't hurt us to dance a jig every once in a while. You say, I don't believe in that, Brother Jim. Honey, if you dance for the Lord, it ain't nothing wrong with it. Used to, I had a hard time raising my hands up. Honey, we're to lift holy hands up to heaven. It ain't to show off us. It's to show off him. It's to say right here. Right here is the reason I raised my hand. Right here is the reason why I love what he's done for me. I have joy in my heart for what God has done for me. I want you to realize, yes, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was the first fruits. You'd read over at Deuteronomy 26 about the first fruits. But listen, Jesus Christ was the only one that ever had power to raise himself from the grave. Honey, he said, you tear his temple down. And what did he say? I'll raise it up. I'll raise it up again. He had power to raise himself up from the grave. No one else ever had that power. There's something to rejoice about this morning. Look out there to the sun. Tracy put this morning about how gloomy it had been for 3 days. Rained. Then the sun popped out this morning. She asked me, coming over here this morning, she said, "Reckon on the day you resurrected, the sun shine?" I said, "Amen, it shined." I believe it was bright that morning. I believe there was a glow there like there's never been here before when he come out of the ground. I believe it shined out bright. I believe he's going to outshine everything in heaven. And I believe he outshines everything today. I'm fit to go read just a little more scripture and we're going to quit. And I know a whole lot of this is hard to handle, especially to do with the crucifixion. You've been told all your life he's crucified on Friday. You get off work on Friday. Get out of school on Friday. Ain't all that good? I wonder sometimes if it ain't why they say it. You tell me, I'll say this and leave you with this. He told the only sign would be given. The only sign is Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. He said, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. I've got a West Side education. People always ask me, what year did you graduate? I should have graduated with you. They don't understand. I got a West Side education. I'm not a very smart man. I didn't go to high school. But I'm smart enough to know that you can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning. You figure it out. And he said that would be the only sign that would be given. In other words, if I'm not there 3 days and three nights, I'm not him. But he was him. He was there 3 days and three nights, and I believe he come out exactly on 3 days and three nights. I believe it ended the Old Testament and it began the New Testament, and we should rejoice in that. You study it out. First Peter, chapter 1, and we're going to quit. Blessed be the God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everybody wants it at the end there at the cross. What was finished was at the cross was the law. He'd kept every bit of it. He'd kept every jot and diddle. But it wasn't finished until he resurrected. And to the inheritance, the incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith of salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if it need be, ye are in heavens through manifold temptations. Heaven is through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor of the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. and whom having not seen ye love, and whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've never seen him. The Bible says, Thomas said he wouldn't believe until he stuck his finger in his side. We all call him Doubting Thomas, but if you read right before that, he revealed himself to the rest of them and showed them his scars before they believed. But I don't find where Thomas ever touched his, put his finger in his side. All I find is when he showed him, he said, "My Lord, my God." You don't think he didn't have a little rejoicing right there? I've never seen him, but I know because of the power of his resurrection, I will someday. He told Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection." I don't understand it all. I didn't catch on to this just a couple years ago that it says over in Thessalonians in the 4th chapter where it talks about, he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, those who sleep. He said, those of us that are alive and remain shall be carried up together. The Bible says we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. Because of that resurrection, someday we're going to see the graves bust open. I used to think we would stand and watch them. They'll go. But that ain't what it says. It says we shall be called up together. Wouldn't you like to be? I'd like to be at Rocky Mount myself. Well, that's one of the places. Trom Cemetery is awful dear to me. I've got a set of twins, well, not my twins, twin sisters there that I've never met. One day I'm going to meet them. I got a mom and daddy there. I can't wait to see again. You can say what you want. God, when he saw everything he saw, he said, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." I don't know how Annie Claire stands with the Lord. As far as I know, she's lost. I want her to be saved. But I want you to know, what if he come back right now? If he come back right now, I'd say, "Lord Jesus, come." Oh, that's hard to say. But listen to me. Honey, we have something better for us and all that will be left behind. The former things will be passed away. I want you to realize for what he's done for us, we should have joy. We should run out of this place today just like they did. I run all the time. Honey, that's something to run about. I run in vain a lot of times, the course I'm running. But honey, that's a race we run. We should run it with joy. We should take off the heaviness of sin. And we should run for God and go out there and tell a lost and dying world that our Savior lives. He lives. All hell. Everybody be joyful because he lives. When he was born, they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." But honey, when he resurrected, there should be joy. You got anything to be happy about today? I do. Nothing's changed since that day when Mary and them went over there to the grave. It was empty then. and it's still empty today. Paul and Peter in the 15th chapter of Acts, Paul talked about Stephen, or David, how he was over there in his grave. He talked about the Lord. He was gone. He'd been gone. He's the only one that ever resurrected himself. People serve gods everywhere today. The gods they serve are somewhere in a grave right now. Hers is not. It ain't a thing changed today. So I'm doing the same thing that Mary and them went to tell the brethren. They took off and they drunk. I mean getting it. Laying them down. They was excited. They got there, knocked on the door. They go in, they say, he's alive. And it says they didn't believe him. I wish y'all could see y'all's faces right now. If I had my camera, I'd take it. A lot of y'all don't believe it. You're looking at me just like they did. You're kidding me. We're still telling the same story. His grave's empty. He's gone. He's alive. It ain't changed in 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, it was still the same story. Running to tell everybody he's alive. But when you leave here today, tell somebody. Tell them it's not about an Easter egg or Easter bunny. Tell them he's alive. He's sitting on the throne right by the Father making intercessions for you and me today. All hail. All hail. And they came and worshiped his feet the same way that sinner woman did. Fell at his feet. Saw themselves for what they was and saw him for what he was. A living Savior. That's my little thought. You, and this don't mean nothing, y'all. I know it don't. It don't matter. It does to me. I was sitting there last night, and I was still fighting. I want to read Mark 16:16. I like it. I like it. Tells about the first day of the week. All this. And I'd give in. I'd went back over and read it again. And I come across that all hell, and I said, you need to look that up. And I looked it up, and I read the definition. I sat there and cried like a baby, and Sheila looked at me like I'd lost my mind. And I said, you won't believe what the definition of this word is, and you won't believe what my thought was. And she said, well, what is it? I said, my thoughts rejoice. And I would have never thought that would have meant rejoice. But see, God, he got a plan. And he said, you read here. I kept wanting to read here. But God knew where I need to read. He knew you need to hear this today. He knew I need to preach this today. He knew about today before the day was made. That's my thought. I love y'all. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell him that he lives. He does.